Just as with fingerprints, no two people have the same DNA, not even identical twins. That's why recent advances in DNA identification have been such a boon to the forensics industry. But DNA evidence is basically useless without a match to a particular person. And according to John Junker, who teaches criminal law at the University of Washington, making that match can pose a challenge to police, since DNA is considered to be the personal property of each individual.
Well, obviously, they cannot go out and simply do random screens. They have to be able to either have probable cause to believe that a sample of the person's blood or other tissues would provide evidence of crime, or they have to get the evidence with the consent of the individual, or they could do it in an undercover way.
It's that last way of getting a match, the undercover way, that's raising some legal questions. The courts have ruled police don't need a court order to go through a suspect's trash looking for fingernail clippings or hair once that trash has been placed on the sidewalk for pickup. Police are also allowed to follow a suspect, waiting for him to discard a cigarette butt or coffee cup, both of which would have saliva on them and could therefore yield valuable DNA evidence. But that's not what happened this past July, when police in Washington arrested John Athen for the 1982 rape and murder of a 13-year-old girl.
They did not get court authorization or a warrant to do what they did.
John Minster is an attorney representing John Athen. Police arrested Mr. Athen when they matched DNA from his saliva to semen found on the victim's body. John Athen had been a suspect at the time of the murder. But in 1982, DNA identification techniques weren't advanced enough to be of any help to police. 21 years later, law enforcement agents in Seattle sent John Athen a letter telling him he could be eligible to participate in a class action lawsuit on behalf of people who'd been overcharged on parking tickets. All Mr. Athen had to do was sign a form and mail it back to the senders. The letter was a complete lie, but John Athen didn't know that. He signed the form, licked the envelope, and unwittingly sent his DNA to police, who now had the technology to use it.
I filed a motion to suppress the DNA-related evidence, and I've also filed a motion to dismiss the case under a Washington state court rule which authorizes judges to dismiss cases based on arbitrary action or government misconduct.
But does the dishonest manner in which police convinced John Athen to give up his DNA constitute government misconduct? The University of Washington's John Junker doesn't think so.
There are mountains of precedent for doing it. I mean, all undercover work by undercover police officers is fruitful only if they can persuade the persons whom they are investigating that they are not police officers. And to get the suspect to unwittingly disclose to them some information that would be an admission of their involvement in crime.
But the police in this case did more than just convince John Athen they weren't police. They convinced him they were lawyers, representing people who'd gotten parking tickets. And that's how they broke the law, according to Mr. Athen's attorney, John Minster. Mr. Minster says in the state of Washington, it's illegal for anyone who isn't a licensed lawyer to pretend to be one.
Americans have rights to consult with counsel, and the lawyers on the other side have to have the duty to maintain client confidences. If the police are allowed to pose as lawyers, those pillars of our system are going to crumble. So I see this as a watershed.
Prosecutors in Seattle aren't commenting on the case since the trial date is less than a month away. John Minster's motion to have the evidence and the charges thrown out will be heard by a judge this week. If that judge decides not to throw out the case, John Athen's trial for the rape and murder of a teenager 21 years ago will begin on November 13th. I'm Maura.